Blog Talk Radio.
Came to
to me while I was at the market today, and I'm, you know, had a few people stop by and talk to me. And we know that the world is, people say they believe in Messiah, but it is the way that they're believing, it's the things that they're doing. Their hope is in him, yet and still, you know, we're not really understanding the true gospel. And so, you know, the Most High just put on my heart to just do a precept about the true gospel, true repentance, what that means. Because, you know, people seem to think, say, you know, if they say I'm sorry, that it's all good. But we're going to go into these things on this evening, what true repentance means, and truly returning to Elohim. And this is based off of the scripture, John chapter 4, verse 17. The book of John, chapter 4, and verse 17. So that's going to be our reference verse for this evening, even though we'll be covering a lot of scripture. This is the basis for this precept on this evening. So we want to thank everybody who has been listening and participating. We pray that you are well settled in the Most High, and that, you know, he is richly blessing you. And whatever you are putting your hands to, whatever you are seeking after him for, we serve an Elohim who can and will for those that love him and keep his commandments. And so, you know, I want to just give thanks to everybody who truly follows him and loves him. And it is, you know, their heart's desire to be pleasing to him. We are, well, I was, you know, having a conversation with my older sister, and, you know, and we were talking about the scriptures and stuff, and she was saying how she was telling the grandbabies who we are. And I was surprised that she knew as much as she knew about us, who we are as a people, because we haven't, you know, we haven't been talking on the regular. The last time I talked to her, she kind of had an idea, but I think she has gotten herself well educated in this manner. And so, you know, I was telling her to turn them on to the broadcast so they can continue their education as far as from a Hebrew Israelite perspective and not a quote-unquote church perspective. And what I mean by that is the Orthodox Church teaching on salvation and those types of things, because we as a people, we have to do it the way the Most High said do it. We don't have any other choice. There's no other option for us if we want to make it into the kingdom. And so this precept also covers, you know, aspects of that. So, you know, we want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk and in Pal Talk. And we're going to go ahead and jump in this precept. I have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your head. And let us go ahead and start this Shabbat off, the Sabbath off, and with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this, his holy day. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. restore adoration on you and on you only, Father, for you alone are worthy of our adoration and our praise. And to another, we will not give it to you, Father, but we are faithful to you and to you alone. And so we give you glory, honor, and praise on this day, O Father, and we ask that you would be with us in this teaching, Father, and that you would grace us with your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And glory to you, O Father. Glory to you in the highest. Glory to you who wraps himself in the clouds. Glory to you whose salvation is everlasting from one end to the other. Hallelujah. You are the first and the last, and there is no other. So we give you glory, honor, and praise on this day. And we honor you in this your day. And we speak your word, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, and glory to you. Glory. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said that if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction. Come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for this evening. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 47. And as always, I will personalize this. You read along in the scriptures, but I'm going to make it personal because it just does something for me to personalize. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive and repent. So start in verse 46. I said, verse 46. I was like, that didn't sound right to me. Okay, for a start. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carry us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought forth out of the land of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us hear the sounding of the shofar. It is Yah Sabbath. And so the sounding of the shofar.
I'm at a loss for words. worship. Can we fill this room with worship as we
like you,
Yeshua said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. for thou hast had five husbands, and of whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Okay? And so in this verse, Messiah is showing to this woman that he has divine power. He doesn't know her. And yet he is telling her something about herself. And his whole message to her is going to be that she needs to repent. Okay? So he has divine knowledge. And he unveils this to her. I tell her, hey, you don't have, you are not married. And you truly don't have a husband right now. You have had four or five husbands, and the one that you're with right now is not your husband. So Messiah is going to reveal something. Now, let's go to this verse. Just a second here. I don't know why I'd be missing these things. Go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. And from that time began to preach and to say, and this is Messiah, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the portion of this that he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very short verse, but it means so much. And I don't really believe that people take this verse to heart when what Messiah is saying. So let's understand true repentance, okay, this word repent. True repentance is more than just verbal acknowledgement of wrongdoing. It's more than just saying, I know I'm wrong. It is a transformative process. You are supposed to change upon understanding that you are a sinner. Supposed to change. And it involves the genuine changing of your heart. It involves you really understanding that you have transgressed the laws of the Most High. And that you have offended him. You have broken his law. Most people don't take that consideration, that sin is the transgression of his law. So we're going to go get that real quick and come right back. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression, the breaking of the law of Elohim, the law of God, okay, the Most High. That's what sin is. So it would not be sin for a man and woman to sleep together unmarried, except the Most High said it is a sin. It would not be sin to take somebody, something from somebody that, you know, you break in on them and you know, do them harm, except the Most High said that it was sin to do so. It's wrong. If the Most High, whatever the Most High defined, could not do, if we shouldn't do it and we do it, we sin. If we should do it and we don't do it, we sin. We transgress his law. And so repentance is being sorry that we have transgressed his laws. That's what true repentance is. It's a changing of the heart. It's a changing of the mind. is to changing the direction of our life, making 180-degree turns from what we were doing, to turning totally toward the Most High and becoming obedient to Him, obedient to His law, obedient to His ways, obedient to His will. And if the Most High is not speaking to us, then it's His will according to the Scriptures. Okay. So this is what true repentance is about. So true repentance requires us to keep Elohim's law, statutes, His commandments, His ordinances, His judgment. Saying repent, He's saying turn, recognize that you are transgressing the laws of the Most High. Be genuinely sorry about it. Turn away from them, from breaking them, and start keeping them with joy in your heart. Okay? So this is what he's saying in this first part of this verse. Stop transgressing. Stop breaking the laws of the Most High. He didn't say stop doing it because I'm going to cancel them out, because he didn't cancel them out. So it says stop doing this. Repent. Turn away from transgressing his laws and turn toward keeping them. Turn toward obeying the Most High. Leave behind those past sinful behaviors with godly sorrow, because we have that much respect for the Most High. Doing this is what identifies us as being righteous, because we're doing right by the Most High. We're doing right by Him, okay? And that is what righteousness is all about. It's not right according to our standards. It's according to His standards. And what He says is right, and what He says is wrong. So when Messiah said repent, this is what he was talking about. Stop breaking the commandments of the Most High. Be godly, have godly sorrow that you have broken them. Turn away from breaking them. Turn back toward the Most High and start keeping His statutes, His laws, His commandments, His ordinances, and His judgments. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's available to you. It is actually here right now. And so when we get into the second part of this verse, I'm going to break that down for us, that we are living in the kingdom right now. Okay. So let's look at this a little bit further. Acknowledging our sin. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs chapter 28. And let's get verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. And the word of the Most High reads, he that covers his transgression of the law, he that covers his not keeping the commandments, not keeping the judgment, the statutes, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High, shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. When he's saying forsake them, not keeping them, covering them. If you forsake covering them, if you forsake not keeping the commandments, meaning that you start keeping them, then you shall have mercy. But if they never stop keeping them, or never start keeping them, let me say it that way, if they never start keeping his commandments, And to be looking for mercy, he says there is none. So in Proverbs, the necessity of us not just confessing our sins, but forsaking them as the first step towards repentance. Now, in this case, and what I find is that people tend to lump sin into what they feel is wrong. They make it personal like that, but it's in what they say is wrong, not what the Most High says is wrong. And so one of the things that everyone has to understand that sin is what the Most High says is not right. One way or the other, as I said, whether you did something you weren't supposed to do or you didn't do something you were supposed to do, that's sin. But we tend to make it personal and define it how we want to define it. And don't define sin the way that the Most High defines sin. So we don't bother to learn his laws. We learn the very basics of them because we hear them coming up, but that's about it. We don't learn the totality of his laws because we don't really want to apply them to our life. But this is what we have to do. We have to transform. We have to get a heart that we want to keep them, that we want to know them and keep them, that we might not transgress. And not transgressing them, not breaking them, is what makes us righteous. That's how the Most High determines whether we are righteous or not. Are you keeping my commandments? Are you obeying my voice? Are you doing my ordinances, my statutes, my judgments? These are the things that make us righteous. So if you turn away from those things, you won't cover them up. You will confess them, what you know, and as you learn them, you will confess those as well. And those that you know that you're doing, you won't continue to do. Okay? You'll have godly sorrow. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's get verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance when we recognize who we have sinned against, who we have transgressed against. You know, we might think, you know, hey, I offended my brother or my sister, you know, my fellow man, and not think too much about it. You know, we can be sorry that, you know, hey, I've offended you or whatever. But when you take that to the level of the Most High, I have offended the Most High Elohim, the Most High God, and I'm contrary to him, that should do something to you. It should say something to your spirit. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, and I need to know how to appease him, how to make it right with him. So it says, when we recognize that, then we will come to true repentance. If we put repentance only in that we offended our fellow man or they offended us, but we don't really put it in its proper perspective that I have offended the Most High Elohim, because you won't truly repent the right way. Your level of repentance won't go high enough. And so this is a common problem in the world. You know, he's a forgiving Elohim. He's a loving Elohim. He's a, you know, he dispenses grace all the time. And so they don't really take it to the level that I truly have offended him. And so what? He's going to forgive me. And so we take this thing lightly. So for Elohim, godly sorrow, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. That means that you're not going to be sorry that you repented and turned toward the Most High and started keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgment. You're not going to repent of that. Well, I'm sorry I started keeping your laws. You're not going to do that. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So let's talk about these two. Sorrow of the world works death or produces death. How does it do that? Paul is contrasting worldly sorrow with godly sorrow. Okay? And there's a difference there because people come to the Most High with worldly sorrow in their heart. It's not really godly sorrow. And so Paul is addressing that. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The nature of worldly sorrow is this. Worldly sorrow is essentially a regret or a sadness that is rooted in earthly outcomes. What's going to happen to me here? What am I gaining or losing here? Is what it's based on. Not in offending Elohim or violating his law. That's worldly sorrow. I'm sorry I affected something here. But not really going to the mindset that I have violated the laws of the Most High. Not really going to the place that I have offended the Most High. This type of sorrow is concerned with the consequences of action rather than the moral implications of the action. It might arise if you got caught doing something. And the truth of the matter is, you weren't sorry what you were doing. You were sorry that you got caught doing what you were doing. That's worldly sorrow. You might commit a crime on the earth and you have to give up your freedom. Or you might have to pay a financial penalty, a material loss. That's the sorrow of the world. Or you might suffer from a damaged relationship with somebody. You know, you went out and cheated on your partner, and now they no longer want to be with you. That loss. Okay, that's worldly sorrow. But that type of sorrow don't actually really lead to true repentance or change. Just means I'm sorry I got caught, or I'm sorry it happened, but situation comes up again, you're probably going to do it again. Maybe not the same way. Maybe you feel like you're going to get slicker. You know, I'll do it better this time, and I will not get caught. That's worldly sorrow. Elohim sorrow, or godly sorrow, on the other hand, is deep. It's a spiritual realization of having sinned against the Most High. It's a mental realization, a heartfelt realization. I have offended the actual creator of the universe, the one that is over everything. And it should put a certain type of fear in you. And not just sorry. When we understand this type of heartfelt, genuine, spiritual repentance, it brings us, or sorrow, it brings us to true repentance. Because the level is correct. It brings about a change of mind. It brings about a change of heart. It brings about a change of behavior. Because we recognize who we have offended. We truly recognize. So Paul is telling us, hey, if we have worldly sorrow, we won't actually change. But if we get godly sorrow, if we recognize the magnitude of our transgression, of our sin, and who we've done it against, then we will change. If we care, if we truly care, and we truly have repented and said, oh, because you got some people out there that will say, oh, well. Will say something like, oh, he'll get over it. He's bigger than that. They want to make an excuse for their action. He's more loving than that. He's bigger than we are. No, he's telling you exactly what he requires. He requires that you recognize that you have transgressed against him. And you should have genuine sorrow for that. Now, the consequences of worldly sorrow. When we only have worldly sorrow, then we usually will end up suffering a spiritual death with the Most High. Continual, unrepentant sin leads to spiritual separation from Elohim, from the Most High, who is the source of life, who is going to give you eternal life with him in paradise. But when you are in continual sin, that's not going to ever happen. When you are, let me say that another way, when you are in unrepentant and even repentant willful sin, they end you up in the lake, because that's going to be on the Most High, whether he forgives for that or not. Ignorant sin, you know, the Most High has always said, hey, you did it ignorantly. Repent. Realize that you have offended me. You didn't know you were offending me, but when you found out, you were sorry. You had no intent of offending me. He says you can repent of that. You can be atoned for that. But when you willfully do it, then he says you are willfully being disobedient. You are willfully being unrighteous. He says you're not repentant of that. You might come to me and say, I'm sorry, but how can you be sorry for something that you willfully did? Truly be sorry for it. Now, I guess there can be a situation you get into where you know something is wrong. You are on the fence about whether to do it or not. And when you do it, then you become grossly sorry for it, that, you know, I made the wrong decision. And that could happen. But then again, it's still left up to the Most High because you knew. So spiritual death, no relationship with the Most High, or he doesn't have one with you because you died spiritually. Emotional and psychological death. Worldly sorrow can lead to despair, hopelessness, of worthlessness. You know, I'm not worthy. And I've talked to people who said, you know, I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not, you know, I'm worthless. The Most High would never save me because of the things that I've done. They are in despair. They feel like they have no hope. They might as well just stay the way that they are. But when they find out about true repentance, if they truly want to repent, then they can truly repent rather than having that worldly type of sorrow. Because most of the time, I will say most of the time, sometimes people actually do want to change and don't know how to. And then there are times then that they know that they're wrong and they're sorry that they're wrong, but they have no intentions of change. No intentions of change, okay? So they ultimately end up in despair. They ultimately end up being hopeless, feeling they're not worthy. A lot of the times, depends upon their personality, they could end up trying to take their life or taking their life. Because they realize the situation that they are in with the Most High. And unless they write a note, a lot of people, you know, nobody will really know that. But, you know, I have no hope. So that's a result of worldly sorrow. Not having, placing the emphasis in the right place. And then the last result of that is eternal death. Eternal death. Separation from Elohim in the lake. Can't come out of the lake. Can only stay in the lake and burn and weep and gnash teeth. But never again having a relationship with the Most High. Because he says that torment is forever. You don't get a 1-year sentence or a 10-year sentence or a 50-year sentence or a 1,000-year sentence. You get a forever sentence. You don't come out. So worldly sorrow leads to that. Its ultimate end is to lead to the lake of fire. Because you never recognize the true level of repentance that you need to have. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4. Because the reality that we have to have when we repent, follow Messiah's orders, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The book of James, chapter 4. And let's get verse 9 and 10. James chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And the word of the Most High reads, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself. Because, see, when we are have that sinful nature and we are happy about being sinners, we brag about being sinners, how we did this and how we did that and how we got over on this and who we took this from and who we fooled, so forth and so on, who we cheated. Just turn all that into mourning, into, you know, you are sad about it. You're not happy about it. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yah, and he shall lift you up. So you got to understand that this sinful nature, you can't stay in it and revel in it. You can't brag about it. Can't do that. Because that shows that you're not truly repentant. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of Yah, and he shall lift you up. So you got to truly be sorry that you have offended him. Don't use things as excuses to disobey him. So, go to Matthew chapter 27. So that verse showed us that, you know, you need to have profound recognition that you have offended him. Wow, I really offended the Most High Elohim. And these are absolute. Because we will try to manipulate situations to where it don't seem that bad. It don't seem that bad what I did, because I did it for this reason. If it turns out to be a selfish reason, you had something to gain from it. Then he says, you didn't humble yourself. And you have offended him. Matthew 27. And let's get verses 3 through 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 27. Verses 3 through 5. And the word of the Most High reads, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now, Judas repented to the point that he took his life. Messiah said, you know, it had been better had Judas not ever been born to do what he did to him. Judas, when he realized that whether he wanted Messiah to take the throne, to take power, whatever reason, rationale he used to betray him. Because I really do think that Judas was trying to push Messiah into actually taking the throne. This is what all the disciples really wanted. Are you here to restore the kingdom at this time to Israel? So Judas acted upon it. And so he goes and he says, I'm going to force his hand. I know the kind of power he has. I know that he has, you know, the people behind him. I know that he's from Elohim. He can work miracles. I'm going to force him into taking the throne. So I'm going to force him to fight. And Messiah didn't fight. This wasn't what he came for. So he repented. He realized, oh, I made a big mistake. And he brought, again, the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, because they paid him to betray Messiah. 30 pieces of silver. He wants to give it back. Here, take it back. Yeah, we don't want nothing to do with that. That's blood money now. Okay. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Well, we got to do with you betraying innocent blood. You chose to do that. And Judas at the time thought he was doing the right thing, realizing what he had done. See thou to that. You take care of that. And what did Judas do? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. I have betrayed Messiah for my own selfish reason. I have betrayed the Most High because he knew who he was. For my own selfish reason, and I have caused him to be taken and going to be put to death. He was so sorry. He hung himself. He knew that he had committed a grave sin. Sent him to the grave. Okay? So he has remorse. He has, you know, he's remorseful about betraying Messiah. He's remorseful about sinning against Messiah. And we have to have that same type of remorse toward sinning toward the Most High. We just don't get it because we don't put it at the same level. So you should hurt deeply when you realize that you have sinned against the Most High Elohim, you should hurt deeply, be remorseful. I am hurt to my heart that I have offended the Most High Elohim. I have not kept his commandments. I have not kept his judgments. I have not kept his law. I have not kept his ordinances. This is what Messiah meant when he said, repent. Didn't mean say, I'm a sorry human being and have worldly sorrow because we're sorry that we're going to have to give up chasing women, or we're sorry we're going to have to give up getting drunk or smoking pot or doing heroin or being a crack addict or taking stuff from the job or stealing from people or doing whatever. We're sorry we're going to have to stop doing that, but we're not sorry that we offended him. We don't take it to that level. When Judas found out, when he realized it, he hanged himself. He took his own life. That's the kind of remorse he's talking about. We should have that kind of sorrow, okay? And really, Judas repented, but it was too late. The damage was done. He couldn't undo it. No way to undo it. So he took his life. So understanding the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow is crucial for our spiritual growth. If we don't ever come to acknowledge godly sorrow, if we never come to that understanding, we will never truly repent to the level that the Most High Elohim requires. And we will say we're sorry, but it won't be to the level that he requires. Are you sorry that you offended me? Are you sorry that you disobeyed me? Are you sorry that you transgressed, you broke, you didn't do what I said to do? Are you sorry that you did something I said not to do? I said, the Most High. And so we are earthly beings, and we can identify with, you know, earthly things. And so we will usually put that at the level that we repent to. Well, yeah, I realize, you know, I'm a fornicator. I'll stop fornicating. I realize that I'm in an adulterous relationship. I'll come out of that relationship. I realize that, you know, I got sticky fingers. I'll stop stealing. I realize that, you know, I got greedy eyes, and I want stuff that other people have that I don't have. I'll stop that. But never recognizing or repenting that all these things offend the Most High. Because he has said, don't do this. Or I don't go and take care of the elderly. I don't go to the hospital and visit the sick. I don't take care of the needy in society. Because he says to do it. Somebody walks up to me and they look raggedy and homeless, and, you know, they got a sign on them say, you know, I want to eat, and I turn my back. And so many people are scamming like that today. But this person was genuine. And so we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and we sinned. Go to Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. Let's get verse 19. The book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And the word of the Most High reads, repent. Turn away from transgressing the laws of the Most High with godly sorrow and be converted. Be ye changed. Converted. It's not about the laws of man. It's about having godly sorrow for transgressing his laws, his judgments, by not obeying his voice. Repent and be converted to keeping them. Not trying to keep them. Because once you break it and you know that you're breaking it, you are a lawbreaker. You are unrighteous. Be converted. Be genuinely horrified when you break a law of the Most High. I am in trouble. I am in a bad place. Instead, people break it and say, you know what? He's merciful and he's kind and he will forgive me. No remorse about what they did. I know it's wrong and I just want him to forgive me. But no sorrow for it at all, for doing it. Maybe just a little bit. And do it because they are not converted. See, when you are done with something, I don't care what it is, whether it's an addiction, a bad relationship, whatever it is, when you are done with it, you are done with it. You have converted. All right, I'm done with that. I don't care if it's smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol, smoking crack, drinking wine or hard liquor. When you're done with it, you're done. And you have been converted. You've been changed. Yeah, I used to react to that this way. There was a time in my life, I get off from work every day and go buy not a six-pack, a case of those split small liquor bulls, tall boys. And by the end of the evening, that whole case was gone at one time in my life. And then I was done with it. It can't get me to drink a beer. Taste one. Not tempted by it. Converted. Be ye converted. That your sins may be blotted out. See, when we don't truly convert, our sins aren't blotted out. We are not forgiven. We go right back into what we were brought out of. Our salvation lasts as long as our next sin was, that we did willfully, that we say we're trying to stop. But the truth of the matter is, we gave up our salvation for that. And we don't want to hear that. Because we knew what was wrong when we were doing it. I'm struggling with it. You didn't convert. You didn't change. You weren't truly committed. So that wasn't blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yah. The times of refreshing when he does this, when he resurrects us. So we have to make an honest, wholehearted effort Because repentance brings about Elohim through refreshing of us. You are a new creature. I used to do those things. That used to be me. Somebody that used to know you, I can remember when. But you could proudly say, that used to be me. I ain't the same person no more. There was a time when that would have been on. But it's not me anymore. I've been changed. I've been converted. I realized that I was offending and who I was offending. I don't want to offend them anymore. See, even if we're sorry about because it did something to us, something to happen to us that was negative, it's still not good enough. You might have changed for yourself, but you didn't change for the Most High. And maybe you are your own Elohim. Because a lot of people don't realize that they make themselves their own Elohim, their own God. And I'm never going to go through that again. So I'm going to change. But it's got nothing to do with the Most High. It's got to do with them. Remember years ago, I was in a room debating against one of those people that don't believe in the Most High. And it dawned on me. You believe in a God. It's just not the God of the Bible. The God that you believe in is yourself, because you don't believe there's anybody higher than you. No being on this earth is higher than you. Y'all may be equal, but they're not higher. So you are your own God, your own Elohim. And a lot of people go through life thinking that, walking in that, but never coming to the true repentance against the Most High. So, you know, I was doing this, I got caught, or I was doing that, and it's really worldly sorrow. But then turn around and try to give the Most High the glory, when they never repented that they had offended him. I don't want to go through that anymore. I don't want, you know, the police after me like that. I don't want to have to keep looking over my shoulders. I don't want to have to keep looking at people and hoping or wishing that they forgive me or thinking that they know what I did and they're talking about me behind my back, whatever the case may be. But it's not godly sorrow. And that's what the Most High requires. That we have godly sorrow, that we repent because we offended him. So I found a lot of people go back who used to be smokers will go back to smoking if the right circumstance comes up because they weren't really through with it. They weren't really converted from it. Changed from doing it. So what will happen is a situation will come up and it will be excuse enough to start again. And even it could have a moment of weakness. Oh, I just need one puff. I'll just get one drag. I'll be all right. I'll put this thing down tomorrow or that'll be it. No, you let that monkey back in. You let that sand back in. That temptation back then. And so, he said, I want you to be 100% converted. Be ye converted. Be sorry that you are offending me and be truly changed. John, chapter 1, the world's favorite verse. First John chapter 1 verse 9. And I now believe that this is, I don't know if I want to use the word crutch that the world is using by twisting this verse and not understand, not really understanding it, putting it in its wrong context. If we confess our sins, confession is not a new thing. The Most High required Israel, if we were in Israel, when Israel was first created, the Most High required Israel to confess. Maybe it's something wrong. But confession is not a new thing. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This applies when we first come to him. I'm a sinner. I do this, I do that, I do this. These are things that you know you do that are against the Most High. Can't confess what you don't know. So he still has a place for ignorant sin. You're still sinning. You just don't know it's a sin. And then you find out that it's a sin. Then you're supposed to confess it. And he is faithful and just to forgive you for it because it was ignorant. So when he showed me that, hey, if you do this stuff willfully, after you've come to Messiah, you do it willfully, there remains no more sacrifice. That means that that can't go up under the blood. It's a whole different category. It's not endless grace. It's not endless forgiving, forgivable. But you got to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you sin, that you transgress. I acknowledge that. I know that now know that this is wrong. And be converted from it. Change. Won't do it anymore. You got people that do something wrong, say they're sorry to the Most High, I'm so sorry, and turn around the next weekend and do it again. How sorry were they? How much of that was just with their lips and not with their heart? How many of us have been there? I can raise my hand, guilty as charged. Until the Most High showed me. You can't do that. And now your eternal life is in peril. Because I told you there ain't no blood for that. And in the past, I would just kill you. I would have you killed for doing that. Now we got to wait for judgment day to see. Most I are, you know, I recognized it. I turned away from it. Once I knew what I was doing, once I really knew where you stood on this, I turned away from it. But before then, I knew, but I was being told that you were all forgiving. But I realize now that that was a crazy, mixed up doctrine. You have never been that way. And so we twist that verse. So we as his children, we as believers, word, must be converted. Be damned what everybody else says, what everybody else is going to think about you. Can't save them. You have to save yourself. And so if they get offended because you are going to be obeying the Most High, you're going to be keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances, then let them be upset. You have to stick to what you've been converted to. And if you haven't been converted to obey him, then you haven't been converted. You've been I don't know what you've been. You've been confused. This conversion is all about not transgressing his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinance, his judgment. Doesn't matter what man says. Man will try to overrule that. And if you let them, then you can't blame them for what you did. Because in your heart of hearts, you knew, you know, that ain't right what they're doing, but that's what I'm going to do. Instead of saying, no, that's not what the Most High said. I'm not doing that. I can't go there. So true confession is pivotal to your salvation, to your forgiveness, to your cleansing. And you got to be true about it. And then you got to truly turn away from it. Or else it's just worldly sorrow. When you have godly sorrow, you'll desire Elohim's ways. You will want to please him. Go to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. See what David says about this. A man after Elohim's own heart. Psalms 51 and 10. And the word of the Most High reads, create in me a clean heart. Clean in regards to the Most High's laws and obedience to them. Clean in regards to just being right with the Most High. Obedient to him. When you learn that something is not right in the eyes of the Most High, you will confess it and turn away from it. You will let the Most High clean that up in you. When you understand how he operates, a lot of people be asking for help, and they're praying amiss, not understanding how the Most High operates. Most High, take this desire from me, but the desire is in you. You recognize that you repent of it, you convert. And the Most High says, okay, I won't put allow the Spirit to come on you again. I won't allow you to be attacked with the Spirit, with this thought. I will help you. I will erase from your hard drive in your heart. I'll create in you a clean heart. I'll wipe it. You won't have the guilt associated with it if you truly convert. But if you don't truly convert, then it's going to be there. And renew in me a right spirit. A right spirit. Right, righteous, lawful, obeying the Most High. Doing what he says to do. Not finding a way to not do what he says to do. And yet still try to claim that you're doing what he says to do. Because we try to be split with the Most High. But he knows. So we want to align with his commandments. We want to align with his desires. Make me whole. Make me new. Make me clean. Create in me or renew in me a right spirit. An obedient one, not one that's looking to transgress. Not one that every thought is what I'm going to do next and who I'm going to get over on. Who I'm going to talk into doing whatever I want to do. Pray to me a clean heart, a right spirit, according to your standards, Lord God. Make me right according to you. Because see, if you run with liars, liars will believe that lying is okay. My father-in-law read the Quran and said a lie in the Quran said it was okay to lie in certain matters, and he did. And I said, that's not the God of the Bible. That right there told me Allah is not the God of the Bible. They are not worshiping the same being. The Bible would never say that. If it hurts you, don't tell a lie. If it costs you your life, don't tell a lie. But in the Quran, it's believed that, hey, the situation can justify you telling a lie. That's way fundamentally different than the Elohim of the Bible. So it's impossible for them to be the same being. It's okay for y'all to lie, but it ain't okay for them to lie. The double standard. Think about that. So create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit, one that's going to do righteousness. Renew that within me. For some of us, that has to be create in me a right spirit. Because what we came out of, we never knew what right was. Everything about what we came out of was corrupt. And we needed to know what was right. So it couldn't be renewed, it had to be created. When we get that heart and that mind, then we want to always align ourselves with the Most High, with His commandments and with His desires and what He wants. Not what we want, because we start to realize the truth. It's not about us, it's about Him. We start to get the big picture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. Let's get verse 8. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Because then we have to produce something. Bring forth, therefore, fruit, meat or meant for repentance. Bring about these fruits that show that we're repentant. You only do that by living a repentant life. The only way you can bear that type of fruit, that's the only way you can become that type of tree. A repentant heart, a repentant person will produce actions that reflect a changed life. What are you talking about here? But remember, these are all parabolic. But He wants us to have a changed life. He wants our actions to reflect that change. Don't just say, oh, I'm a changed person and still run around doing the same thing. Unconverted. Man, we converted, but behind closed doors, among certain people, we still act the same old way. And we're bearing fruit. That same corrupt fruit we used to bear. Instead of fruit that show that we have repented. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, let's get verse 11. And the word of the Most High reads in 11, seek Yah and his strength. Seek his face continually. That's the only way you're going to do this and maintain. You have to seek him continually. That means to seek his guidance, seek his voice, seek his will. Be on point in what he wants done so that you can always be focused on doing what he wants done, the way he wants it done. And he'll give you the strength. Because just keeping his word will give you the strength when you know that you're walking in it. And that you're not just talking in it. There's something about actually doing and being converted that will strengthen you. And the Most High will begin to use you for his purpose and for his will. But you got to do that all the time. Seek his face continually. So the first, you know, so the John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And let's get verse, John chapter 14, let's get verse 22. John chapter 14, verse 23. Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. But if you love him, you will keep his words. You will keep his commandments. Words are spoken all through the book. That's why I said the book testifies of him. His words are all through the book. And give me one second here. Let me put a song on real quick. I'm going to stop squirming.
Be right back. Carrying us for another opportunity to bring you this offering, God. This offering is only powerful if you receive it. So we're going to check our hands and hearts right now. Just make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they're pure. And we thank you, God, that we don't achieve pure hands and clean hearts by our own righteousness, but by the work that you have done, the finished work. So our eyes are on that. Our focus is on that. We are performing for you. We're not trying to move anybody else's heart tonight. And I thank you, even as we said last night, I'm already yours, so I don't even have to perform in that sense. But there is something like a little kid going, Dad, look what I could do, that is just so necessary right now. And so Take all restrictions off of us, all second guessing off of us, and just here's this offering, light the fire to it and let it reach you in a sweet and smelly way, all right? We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, for your favor upon us, for your life in us. Just take a moment. Come on, fill this room and just tell them thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right now just for a moment. Come on.
And let's get verse 12 and 13. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now, saith Yah, turn you even to me with all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your shirt. Don't tear your shirt like you so much in disgust with yourself. Do the real thing. Tear your heart. Rend your heart. Change your heart. And turn unto Yah, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You got to do the work, though. You got to have such sorrow, such disgust with yourself. mourn. I am in bad shape. Weep, cry. Help me, help me. Fast, deny yourself. With your whole heart. Not just for look's sake. Not just as a, you know, a topographical cure. It's on the surface. Not like a plastic person. Not for real. Plastic people ain't real. They pretend to be real, but they're not real. That's why I call them plastic people. Just turn to me with all of your heart. With mourning. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I offended you. Y'all forgive me. Let it bring you to tears. Mourn for the relation you have had with him. If it hasn't been a good one. If you haven't been obedient. Change your heart. Tear your heart. Open it up and expose it. Not your shirt, not your garment. And turn unto Yah. He's telling us exactly what we need to do because of how he is. If we do that, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Now, all this is about repentance. True repentance. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. And the word of the Most High reads, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're really in him, you are a new creature. If you understand salvation and you understand that you've been converted, you've been changed. You're not the same old person. Old things are passed away. Passed away. Old things are dead. Behold, all things have become new. He's talking about you, though. Old habits passed away. Old temptations passed away. Died. I killed those things. You see, we're supposed to do that when we first come to him. Kill them. And then when we find out there's something in us that you know, is contrary to him, we kill that too. Passed away. All things are become new. So when we do that, then we are a child of the Most High. Now, on tomorrow morning, we're going to deal with the second part of this verse. We only dealt with the word repent this evening. The second part of this verse is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I spoke those words, repent. That means to turn to him with godly sorrow. In our heart and convert, truly change. Don't pretend like we change. Truly change. I am 1,000% on your side, Most High. And whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to do. When I find out that I'm wrong, I will admit that I'm wrong and I will change. I will change it. The stuff that I already know, I'm going to kill it off and change. So if I don't know, when I find it out, I will kill it off and change. I will repent. And I will have, knowing that it's against you, I will have godly or Elohim sorrow. I'll have that level of sorrow that it brings me to tears that I've offended you. It's like I killed our relationship, so I'll be in mourning. That's how serious this is. And remember, Hebrews tells us that when we willfully sin against the Most High, we make ourselves his adversary. We kill the relationship. We don't know it. But when we realize that, then we have to truly repent and pray that he still wants the relationship. And if we're truly, truly sorry, and if y'all don't let us know, we're going to still obey him to the best of our ability in accordance with what we know until he judges us and says, you either made it or you didn't. Because what other choice do we have? I'm not so proud and puffed up that I don't believe the Most High could tell me, get away from me. You worker of iniquity. I knew you not. Because when you were sinning and you knew you were doing wrong, I choose not to forgive you for that. He can say that. I'm still going to be his servant. I'm still going to do what it is that he told me to do. And so we have to be of that mindset. Because we don't know until we see him. And he may still use us to do things. Don't want to become puffed up to say, oh, see, he forgave me. I'd rather live as if he hadn't, and I'm going to do everything that I'm going to do everything I can within my power to prove. Yeah, I was truly sorry about what I did. I'm not going to take you for granted. I'm not going to take your grace for granted, and I'm not going to take your love for granted. If you're just going to give it back to me. But let me do that which is right. Not necessarily earn it, but let me do that which is right to prove my love for you. So on tomorrow morning, we will talk about the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says it's here. We need to live like it. Here, like we are an actual citizen of the kingdom, not an outlaw, not a citizen that is an outlaw of the kingdom, that is a disobedient citizen, but a true citizen of the kingdom, law-abiding, faithful, loyal, dedicated. The Most High. So with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. If you have not truly repented, repent now before the Most High. Seek his face. Go before him with weeping and tears, realizing the status of your relationship. Repent. And perhaps Yah will take you or take you back. Only you know your condition. Only you can do what's necessary for you. Beg God in creating you a clean heart and a right spirit. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your evening until we meet again. I pray that you're able to hear the second part of this. Peace and blessings to you. Brothers. Peace and blessings to you both.